Good morning and welcome to the show for Sunday, August 7th. We had ourselves a nice little day yesterday, 4-1. Really happy with the way that total turned out in the Philadelphia game and against Washington. It's almost as scripted. It's almost as if I had the time machine going on how that played out. And that's almost scary when that happens because that's almost uncanny to the point of being ridiculous. So in any event, 4-1 yesterday, but that's ancient history, so let's move on. What do we have today? We have the Dodgers and Padres, and believe it or not, that's the only game that I have action in out of all the possibilities, the only one. And what I like is the Dodgers and the Padres to go under 9. That's a half unit play. I prefer the Dodgers at 135. Now, this number's moved up since I've made my action. You're going to get it in the 140s, low 140s now. And you might still find 135. Check around. But it's moving up. Just beware of that. However, I don't like that. There is a chance that San Diego wins this game. They loaded up at the trade deadline. Flat out loaded up. Backed up the truck and got everybody they could add to this team. So there's no guarantee here. But Dodgers at home. I like the pitching matchup for Anderson over Darvish. That is a play. However, as stated, I like the under 9. So when I can get a same game parlay for the Dodgers to simply win the game and for the game to be also under 13.5 at minus 105, I like it a lot better. I like it exactly 30 points better. Actually, it's now moving a little bit better than that for you. But again, there is risk. The game could go to 14 or more. I find it to be so unlikely that 30 points difference is well worth it. There's a higher likelihood that San Diego wins this game than that it goes to 14. How about that? There's a much higher likelihood that San Diego wins this game than the game going to 14. Therefore, why pay minus 135 because of that risk? I'll take the other same game parlay. Now, I would have played the Dodgers at minus 135 for half a unit. So I would have had half unit on the Dodgers to win and half unit on the under. The actual bets were the Dodgers game against San Diego under 9 for half unit and the same game parlay for a full unit because the value is there now at minus 105. I don't compute the value of 14 or more to be any significant variation to this game. So I'm taking the Dodgers essentially in this for minus 105. That's what it boils down to because there's no 14 in this for me. And that has enough value to play it for a full unit. Now, why is this the only game? So if you want to turn out, you had other things to listen to, other things to do, then this podcast is done. But I'm going to talk about a few games that didn't get the card and why. So that's it. Dodgers under 13.5 and the game under 9. All right. What didn't make it? Well, it's too late to talk about Houston and Cleveland because that'll be started by the time you get this, so let's ignore that. Let's talk about the teams that should win. Baltimore should win, but they're at minus 190. There's no value there. There's not enough value to play that game. Philadelphia should absolutely win. The problem there is that Aaron Nola has been a little weaker than Aaron Nola should be in his last month of pitching. And Corey Abbott for Washington, he's only pitched once, came out of the scrap heap basically, and he comes in and pitches a shutout for 5 innings. You don't want that kind of variable when you're looking at minus 330 for Philadelphia. And let me talk about the next game, Milwaukee. Same scenario, different story. Corbin Burns is not pitching like Corbin Burns. In his fifth to last game, he gave up 0 runs. That's what you want. The next one was 1, the next one was 2, the next one was 3, and his last game was 4. That's almost too obvious of a progression ladder in the wrong direction for me to want to play it. Now, that's a little hokey, yes. That's randomness. But it does clearly tell you that he's not pitching as well from game to game. Looking at all the opponents, there's not been a major difference. You know, he wasn't playing the worst team 5 games ago and the best team his last game. His ratios are shrinking, strikeout to walk, etc. This is not I don't want to bet minus 320 on a pitcher that's struggling. Will he break out of it today? Very possibly against Cincinnati. That's good. But Cincinnati's been playing kind of hot. Graham Ashcraft, he's been unpredictable and to the good side. He's been better than you might have expected. As a matter of fact, I think he had 8 innings, 0 runs last outing. I can't pull this all up for you. I'm doing it live, but you can, if you're interested in betting on this game, look it up. You'll find out that Burns is unpredictable to the downside and Ashcraft unpredictable to the upside. The only way to play these two teams would be Philadelphia and Milwaukee to do a two-team parlay, two-leg. You get it about minus 125 for both of them to simply win. You don't have to win by margin. And yes, I looked at the run line on both of these. Too expensive and that much worse of a chance of coming through with a victory. I could not touch the run lines on them, and I didn't take the parlay. But I do think if you like this, you got to take the parlay on it because, first of all, paying minus 300 is not something you should ever do in a baseball game. Too much unpredictable. Do not do that. Please don't do that. That's just dangerous. And yes, we can argue all day that you're paying that in a parlay because you are. But you have to look at the other side of that coin. You need, if you really think these teams are that big of favors and then they're simply going to win, you got to pay the 128 and get them both to win then and put your money where your mouth is, essentially saying, all right, they're such favorites, they're going to win. I'll pay the 128. And you should feel that way because of your confidence in those favorites. But then you have that less loss scenario if your team doesn't win. You could argue then, well, I love Philadelphia, but I don't like Milwaukee. I think they'll win, but I don't like it. You could argue then, why would I put a game that I don't really like in with a game that I do like? And the answer to that is actually more simple than it should be, because the team that you kind of like in this argument, you kind of like Milwaukee, will end up being the team that wins, and the team that you love, Philadelphia, will be the team that loses, and vice versa. It's just how this game goes. You got to do the parlay on something like that, or otherwise just walk. Take your Milwaukee or your Philadelphia in a future game, but not in these. That being said, maybe they both win by 5 runs. You could have parlayed up the run lines and made a killing and wish you didn't listen to me. But I've been doing this for a long time. I'm telling you, those are traps. One of those games is going to lose. Matter of fact, if you look at the odds, they're indicating about a 75% chance. And we're just going to ballpark this. I'm not going to get into the exact. They're indicating a 75% chance of both those teams winning. Okay, what are the chances of a parlay? So, by the way, and I think that's about right. So, if the odds are indicating 75% chance, and you think it's a 75% chance, there's no value there. You're just flipping a coin and hoping for the best. That doesn't make sense. Let's look at the parlay. 75% times 75%, or 3/4 times 3/4, that's an easier one to do in your head, is 9/16, a little over 50%. So if you are getting a little over 50% chance of winning both games, but you're paying minus 125, that's not what you want. If it's a 50% chance, you want to pay plus 100. That's the answer. When you get up to minus 110, then you're about 52% chance. We can go, there's no value, so stay away. Detroit and Tampa Bay, no thank you. Boston and Kansas City, no thank you. Both teams and the pitchers are unpredictable right now. Toronto and Minnesota, this is one I really spent more time on than I needed to. I think this is a Minnesota win, and they're the dogs at home, and the money is disagreeing with me. They've gone from a plus 136 up to a plus 152, so money is moving on Toronto. I don't think so, but just didn't look safe enough to put any real money on. You know, Minnesota, they're not done. They're in a race between Chicago, Minnesota, Cleveland. One of those three teams is winning the division. The other two are probably staying home. And if you're Minnesota and you're playing at home, you're going to need this game. Toronto, they're in a race because they're in the Yankees division. You're not going to overtake the Yankees, but it's quite possible that most of the wild card teams come out. Well, let's put it this way. Houston's in, and you can just about guarantee that Seattle's in the playoffs as a wild card. I think one of the teams in this division we're referring to, Minnesota, one will make it in. There's three. I think the other three are coming out of the East. The Yankees are in there. And then you got to look at, they're all about 500. What is Boston now? Boston 54 and 55. Essentially, it's a 500 division. Everyone is 50-50 or better. Again, I mentioned the Boston's one game under. And maybe they even it out today. The odds makers think that they even it out today. They're giving a minus 150 favorite. I wouldn't play that. I would play Kansas City at plus 130. If I had to play one, I'd play Kansas City at the plus money because I think it's a toss-up. You're giving plus money. Minnesota, I think, is a slightly better than toss-up. This is crazy because this is a game I would normally play. I think Minnesota is just a hair better, about 52 to 54% chance of winning this game, and you're getting it at plus 150. That's a game that I would play all day long, every day. But there's something, I know this sounds hokey because it's not, this is not a gut feel type business, but yet it is. It's not, you're not doing mathematics where you don't get to decide whether 2 + 2 = 4 today or doesn't it. There's always a finite answer to that. In sports betting, the more you watch things, the more you analyze things, I'm not even talking about watching games, I'm talking watching numbers, because I don't have time to watch all these games, and neither do you. I'm talking about watching the numbers and watching of the teams and the pitchers. And the numbers tell me that Minnesota has value in this game and that I should play this game. However, something doesn't feel right. And that feeling, again, is you see the numbers, you see what they say, but your gut, it's said that luck favors the prepared. And there's actually valid psychology behind that. The more prepared you are, the more you analyze things, you don't know why you did something, but it turns out to be right. I think that Toronto wins the game. And that shouldn't be a secret. They're a minus 180 favorite. This is not like I've just discovered a crystal ball that gives me these answers. Everybody else thinks Toronto's winning. I'm telling you, the numbers tell me Minnesota. So my numbers are showing you that I'm deeper into the internal metrics of this game than the superficial numbers that are being laid out there. Anyway, enough is enough. All right, the Yankees in St. Louis. This is a really interesting one. It's interesting enough for me to never want to play this game. You got Adam Wainwright at home, lights out. You know, he's ancient, but he's getting it done at home. St. Louis is hot. They're playing for playoff chances. New York, 4-game losing streak. They're in the playoff. Well, they will be in the playoffs. There's really no doubt about that. They're a slight favorite on the road at minus 132. Frankie Montas on the mound for him. His first outing for New York. Excellent, excellent pitcher. Great stuff. Now, he's just coming back. He had a shoulder issue, inflammation. He pitched 3 innings in his first outing. You know, gave him a little bit of break. He pitched 5 in the next one. Both outings were very good. Very, very strong. Good stuff. Good velocity. He had to take some time off after being traded. He had some, I believe, a bereavement issue of some kind. So he hasn't pitched in 10, 11 days, something like that. That's not necessarily good, but it did give his shoulder that much more time to make sure it's rested and good to go. You're getting at least 5 innings out of the guy. Yankees should be bouncing back from that from the 4 losses. I just don't think you can take Yankees at minus 132, but you can't really take St. Louis in this game because the Yankees are going to come out looking for a win. They're going to be looking to take names. So we got to pass on that. Miami and Chicago, you can't bet on Luzardo of Miami at this point. I would be taking Chicago. I would have taken Chicago at 115, but I didn't get the analysis done in time. It's now minus 138, and the value's gone. It is flat out gone. No value to reason to take that. If you're a Cubby fan, yeah, I think the Cubs are winning today. But there's enough risk at that minus 138 that there's no value in it. White Sox in Texas, well, again, skull and crossbones over the White Sox. You can't bet for them or against them for the most part. Spencer Howard of Texas is showing signs of life. There's one reason there. Oakland and San Francisco, you really should like San Francisco here. However, this is one of those bad things again. Adrian Martinez is capable of a good outing or a bad outing. Hey, they all are, right? When I'm talking about something, when I'm verbalizing it like that, this is because this is an outlier. This is a situation where you could give up 8 runs or 0 runs. You don't want to bet against Oakland at home in this scenario. Now, they're a poor home team. They're a better road team this year. But that regression to the mean will happen because you're good team or home or bad team, your road record is not going to have the ability to stand as well as your home record, with the exception of if your team is just built wrong for your home ballpark, then you could. But which major league team would you like to predict would be so poorly managed that they would put the wrong type of players on the field for 81 out of their 162 games? That kind of mismanagement doesn't happen. It'd have to be pure coincidence when they're rebuilding and they're just trying to get talent. They don't really care what kind of talent. But again, same argument applies. In any event, the sharp money is moving on Oakland. They were plus 203, now they're plus 172. The argument here is simple mathematics. They're not saying that Oakland has a 51% chance of winning this game or better. I can't think of anybody who would think that they have a better than 50% chance of winning this game. But when you're getting good plus money, there's value there. Another way to put that is if you have a 50-50 coin toss, heads and tails, you need to be paid even money on that, plus 100. Now, in the sportsbooks world, you're going to pay minus 110 because that's where they make their money. So just to be fair, if you think Oakland has a 50% chance of winning, they should be at minus 110, and San Francisco should be minus 110. Obviously, that's not the case. But the argument is this. If I have a coin that is tails 40% of the time and heads 60% of the time, but for tails, I get paid 2-1. I'm taking that game forever. I'm going to take that bet forever because I will win 40 and I'll get paid 2-1. I'm getting paid 160 out of my 100 then. So I'm taking that bet. Obviously, the same game and the same matchup only happens once. Even if these pitchers see each other again, Logan Webb and Adrian Martinez, the teams will be different at that point. Somebody will be injured. Somebody will be taking a break. One team will be hot. One team will be cold. There is no situation of having the exact same matchup time and time again. But the smart money on this, and it does work, is you will find situations like this throughout the course of the season, and enough bets on these games will give you the money. All right. Atlanta and the Mets. You got to stay away from this. It's a 5-game series due to makeup games. Mets have won 3 out of 4. So they're either going to win 3 out of 5 or 4 out of 5. And the Braves obviously want to at least get 2 out of 5 on the road. We got their rookie going, Spencer Strider, who you should not want to bet against. But how do you bet against Jacob DeGrom for the Mets? Well, you could because he's only pitched once this year. He did pitch well, 5 innings, 0 runs. You can't go against him. He's at minus 156, so there's no value. I don't think that plus 132 for the Braves is enough positive money to take the bet. So this podcast has gone on too long considering it's only been one game. So good luck.